I'll tell you why I was laughing. You know, it's funny. This is Rational Revolution, Mark Becker here. I just want to say hello. You know, it's every week I seem to like start the show by going, oh God, here we are. There's so much to talk about. But if you missed last week's episode, it was awesome. We had my very dear friend, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, the best new representative in the state of Wisconsin. And he brought with him a friend of his and a friend of ours now, Officer Harry Dunn from the U.S. Capitol Police. It was a brilliant episode, and it had nothing to do with me. It was all of them. If you missed that episode, check it out. Seriously, that episode, this episode, civicmedia.us or wherever you get your podcasts. And the reason I was laughing was because the intro music played, and we have this guy who everybody knows, your friend and mine, Mr. Chairman Ben Wickler, joining us, and he was rocking out in the car. I see you as we're, what car are you in? What is that?
I'm in the car of my Deputy Finance Director Hazel, who's here with me. We're driving to Chicago to try to go raise some money to counter the flood of right-wing Elon Musk billionaire broligarch dollars that are flooding into Wisconsin to elect Brad Schimmel and defeat Susan Crawford. We want to stop them, so that's why we're on the road.
We do want to stop them, and it's wonderful. And I, you know, I want to hit on that. I think it was that we just learned that all of this money is pouring into these races out of state from, you know, Elon and his allies. And I hate to keep saying Elon because it's like, you know, the Sith Lord, the dark guy. And, you know, what is going on?
Trying to run basically a coup, disobeying the Constitution, disobeying Congress, disobeying the courts, doing to the federal government what he did to Twitter, which is to fire nearly everybody, break a bunch of stuff, and turn it into a playground for, you know, right-wing billionaire extremists and their lackeys to enrich himself at the expense of everyone else.
And that's
doesn't want any checks or balances. Like that's the thing, is having state courts that actually check the power of people who break the law. That makes a big difference in the world, and he doesn't want it. And so, what we're seeing right now is Elon Musk, you know, obviously played a big role in helping elect Donald Trump, but that's not enough power for him. He wants to take over state courts as well. He wants to make sure we don't have someone like Susan Crawford who believes you actually have to pay attention to what the law says and not just what right-wing billionaires want when you figure out how to adjudicate cases.
Right. You know, and I think we're about the same age. And so we understand, I have a deep love for Miss Frizzle. And, you know, take chances, make mistakes, get messy, except when we're dealing with the federal government. You know, we don't want that. We'll come back to that. I want to hit on, you've been really, really busy lately. And so Ben Wickler, chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, you ran for chair of the mothership. Talk about that experience.
Right. Yeah, so I had not planned to run for DNC chair. This was not on my bucket list of life goals.
Not on the bingo card?
Not on the bingo card. And I thought that Kamala Harris was going to win the election, you know, like so many of us did, that we felt this enormous energy in Wisconsin. And that's where I'd been putting my focus. And on election night, I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach as we watched Donald Trump romp to victory. Like, had any of this work that we'd been doing for years actually made any difference at all? And the next morning I woke up and I started digging into the numbers. And what I discovered is, in Wisconsin, it did make a difference. That Democratic turnout fell in most of the country. In Wisconsin, it rose. It's true that there were more Republican voters who came out of the woodwork and cast ballots for Donald Trump than we'd expected, and enough to carry Trump to victory, but only by a hair's breadth, by 0.9%, less than 1 point. And meanwhile, a lot of those voters really were voting just for Trump. They didn't show up for Eric Huffey in the Senate race. They didn't show up down ballot. And we had organized to support Harris, but also Tammy Baldwin and also our state legislative candidates, our congressional candidates. And on that same day, you know, Harris got more votes than Biden. And those voters also voted for Baldwin. And so Baldwin won also by less than 1%, but she won her Senate race. And we flipped 14 state legislative seats. We did better than any other battleground state, better than Democrats in almost any state in the country. And we could see the impact of having engaged year-round instead of just dropping in the last 2 months of this election. Communicated everywhere, made the contrast, made the case. So I started getting calls from people urging me to run for DNC chair. And I thought, if we can do what we've done in Wisconsin on a nationwide basis, we can help contain the damage that we know is going to come with the Trump administration and fight for working people across all our communities and rural areas and cities and suburbs alike across the country and make win a ton of elections, make a big difference in this country over these next 4 years. So I jumped in and I'm really proud of the campaign that we ran. We were able to, my slogan was unite, fight, win. We were able to unite most of the party around the campaign. We had the support of the Democrats in the Senate and the Democratic governors and the Democrats in the House. We had the support of the unions. We had the support of the grassroots organizations across the country. What we didn't have was the majority of the voting members of the Democratic National Committee.
Yep.
And what I realized at the end was the same adage that I applied to Wisconsin was true of the Democratic National Committee voters, which is you can't jump in the last 2 months and expect to earn the voter's trust. You have to organize to win. And my fellow candidate, Ken Martin, who I've known for years, has been kind of working his way towards this for years as head of the State Chairs Association. And so he was known to the voters and trusted by them. And, you know, they went with someone that they knew, which, you know, it happens sometimes. But it means that I'm now back home and feel I'm proud that I tried to do the biggest thing I could think of to try to fight back against this administration. And, you know, a close second is being in Wisconsin on the ground fighting to elect Susan Crawford to beat Brad Schimmel in the most important election, maybe of the entire year, certainly of the first 10 months of this year in the entire country, where now it's really a square off between, you know, the Elon Musk Goliath and the David Susan Crawford and the grassroots of our state to fight for a state that's not bought and paid for by the richest person in the world.
Right. You know, and I'm going to hit on that pretty hard here, but I love the idea that you have as the year-round campaign cycle. And, you know, you've preached that for a long time. And what was your favorite part of the experience? Like, you know, presidents know who you are. And, you know, so I can't imagine you would get starstruck. But was there ever a moment where you were like, wow, like that just happened?
I mean, for me, the most emotional moment was the night before the election. We had a kind of rally at the DNC meeting and we had the presidents of the NEA, of AFSCME, and of AFT all on the stage with me. And my mom has told me all these stories. She was an officer in her AFT local.
Oh, nice.
Like having wrapped in her snuggly, the union meetings, and then she'd have to duck out of the room to breastfeed me. And then in high school, I marched with my NEA local, with Madison Teachers Inc., to you know, fight for better wages and working conditions and school funding. And then AFSCME was born in Wisconsin. So so it was like these three unions that have had a huge role in my life, and having the international presidents there with me with this vision of being a party that fights for working people across race and ethnicity, that shows people we're on their side because we go to bat for them. I choked up, and it still means the world to me to think about that moment. And of course it's the work continues in the fight. I think in this, when you look back at the last election, I don't think people were voting for what Trump is doing now. They really weren't. And they're horrified by what Trump is doing now. There were the people who hadn't voted before but came out this time. I think the biggest driver was they're frustrated by feeling like prices were going up, that their income had gone down because the pandemic era support that had helped a lot of families through the pandemic, that disappeared. And they felt squeezed economically, and they didn't see and feel like Democrats were fighting to change that. So they voted for change. They don't deserve what Trump is unleashing on the country right now. And I think showing that we're on the side of, you know, of folks of modest means, not just the, you know, the far right billionaires, that's the way that Democrats can win back trust and be able to win elections across the country.
Now, I'm going to get into Wisconsin here. I have one more question about this.
Sure.
And I do have to say, I know I've messaged you probably way too many times, but like, you know, like the day Nancy Pelosi came, I was like, oh my God, how incredible was that? Does this light a fire in you to say, okay, well, maybe I know that running for chair wasn't on the bingo card, but maybe there are some places on the bingo card that you don't know yet.
I feel like I am in a space of knowing that I don't know the future, and that's can be anxiety provoking, but also it's kind of great. Like I'm getting calls about all kinds of things I never thought of before.
Yeah.
And what I know is that my kind of goals in life are to be a good husband and father and to make the biggest difference I can in the world. And so figuring out what that, you know, what that entails, I know exactly what it entails through April 1st. And then after that, I'm open to ideas.
I, I appreciate you, and I thank you for everything that you've done. And I think you being involved in politics in whatever way makes the world a better place. So please, whatever you do, keep doing that, all right?
Unfortunately for me, I can't resist running into fires. So
Nice. Well, good. I like to hear that. So speaking of Wisconsin. Holy crap! We got a couple months ahead of us. What's going on? State of the Supreme Court race. We've got Darth Maul versus versus the good guys. How we got just like a minute left in this segment. How much money is pouring into Schimmel's side of it, and where is that coming from?
Well, we've tracked $1.4 million in the last day that's flooded in from far right billionaires for Brad Schimmel. I think you can think of Brad Schimmel, if Dan Kelly was Donald Trump, Brad Schimmel is Elon Musk. Yeah. He is someone who wants to just energetically slash, burn, control, dominate, attack in the worst possible ways. Working people across our state, strip away freedom from women, from just about everybody. And he's got the backing, not just of Musk, but also of Dick Uihlein, the biggest funder of the Stop the Steal, Dick and Liz Uihlein, and Diana Hendricks, who famously, promoted the divide and conquer attacks on unions in Wisconsin. Like, this is a rose gallery of the most vicious people in American politics. And they know Brett Schimmel's their guy. And Susan Crawford is exactly who you want on the bench, a common sense judge whose life has been a story of public service, who understands the impact that like the crime can have on the lives of victims, and that corporate wrongdoing polluters can do to communities if you hold them accountable. She's represented the kind of even-handed administration of justice that everyone deserves. Yeah. And she's up against someone who represents not just a thumb on the scale, but like an elephant jumping on one side of the scale.
Exactly. So, we're gonna pick this up here on the other side of the break. We got Ben Wickler. We're talking about the state of the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin. Thank you. Tune in. We'll be right back.